Everybody thankful? I said, is everybody thankful? Amen. Praise the Lord. We like to say it this way. God is good. And all the time. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're glad you're here for our service. Yes, I know you're disappointed. It's not just pie. We're Baptistic here. Anytime we gather is a good time to enjoy fellowship, of course, and the Word. One of my best friends in the whole world is Paul Alexander and his sweet family, Lori and their children, and of course, the Grace Covenant Church. We love you all, and we're glad you're here. And we're going to start with just a song, because God is faithful, isn't He? I mean, His faithfulness is great. So let's stand together, and let's sing that.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever.
His name for that pardon for sin.
Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. We pray tonight as we give our sacrifice of praise, oh God, that you would be honored and glorified. We thank you for the Church of Jesus Christ, for your work in our common communities. We're seeing people born again and discipled. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the power of your word. And Father, we pray for the Grace Covenant Church of the Fox Valley. And we thank you for your servant, Paul. Oh God, your hand has been on him and you have filled him with your Holy Spirit and with the word. And And we thank you for this gift to your church. And we ask now, as we reflect on all of the benefits that we have through Jesus Christ, every blessing in heavenly places, we ask that you would use your servant to speak directly to us from your word. Open our hearts, Father. Help us to see. We need your Spirit to illumine our hearts to the word of God. And Father, we ask that you would make us truly gospel people, thankful people, people filled with gratitude, filled with joy and love, and all the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for this evening, and bless us, speak to us. Lord, we are here to listen to you. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated, Brother Paul.
Well, it is a delight to be here with you this evening. Thank you for inviting me and our church. We are really grateful to be here. Our modern social world has reduced thankfulness almost to a simple matter of etiquette. It's simply part of the give and take of our social relationships today. It's good form to write a thank you note, for example, when we receive a personal gift. And since we want to manage our social form as other people perceive it, we're quick to say thank you. Of course, Emily Post has also charmed us into being polite. And besides, the last thing we want to do is give the impression that we have bad manners or that we feel somehow entitled to the gifts that others give us. After all, if we act that way, no one will ever want to give us anything else. So we break out the stationery and we observe the protocol and we ensure that others know how grateful we are for the things that they give us. For others of us, though, it may not be so much a matter of etiquette as it is a matter of emotion. Gratitude is an attitude, we say. And we're very proud that we can rhyme those words. It'll preach. We feel that we should feel grateful for the things that are given to us by others and even by God. And rightfully so. And when we feel grateful, we feel better about ourselves. And this is especially true when our thinking about God is vague. We sense that we should be grateful for all the good things that we have in our lives, but if our thinking on God is vague, then the question arises, grateful to whom? So most of us, when we sit down to Thanksgiving dinner, we'll apply Emily Post to our prayer lines. We'll offer a prayer. We'll probably give it a little more forethought than normal, even jot down a few bullet points on a napkin, thanking God for all of his, or if our thinking on God is fuzzy, her or its material abundance to us and for all the social relationships we cherish. But what if there's something more to the idea of giving thanks than what Emily Post has taught us? In the Bible, thanksgiving is much more than a matter of etiquette, and ingratitude is far more than a breach of etiquette. So before we observe one of our favorite national holidays, and before we give thanks for the pie that we're about to eat, let's meditate on what the Bible says about giving thanks. What is thanksgiving? What do we give thanks for? What are the implications of ingratitude? And how do we show our gratitude best? So first, what is thanksgiving? Anyway, not the holiday, but the concept. In the Bible, thanksgiving is really praise giving. We see that from the parallelism of Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Thanksgiving and praise are parallel there. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. And Paul follows the psalmist's lead in connecting thanksgiving with praise or giving glory to God in 2 Corinthians 4:15. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Thanksgiving leads to giving God glory. And in Revelation 11:17, the 24 elders say, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was, because because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. In other words, thanksgiving is directed to God as a way of praising Him for His power and sovereignty in reigning over all things. And all these ideas are wrapped up in David's prayer of dedication to the temple in 1 Chronicles 29. He first acknowledges God as sovereign creator and Lord. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. And in the very next verse, after all of that praise, he thanks God. But he explains it as praise. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. Thanksgiving and praise are almost the same thing. So to be thankful, then, is not just to feel a sort of emotional poignancy or social obligation. It's not simply to feel our heartstrings tugged or to feel that we owe someone a return on their investment that they've made in us by giving us a gift. Thankfulness in the Bible is almost always directed towards God, and it is directed specifically as praise to God for being the ruler of all things and the source of every good gift. It's broad. In other words, thanksgiving is always theological. It's always theological. Gratitude is an acknowledgement of our creaturely dependence on God as our Creator, who Himself reigns sovereignly over all things. Biblical gratitude does not simply recognize God as the founder of our feast, as if God were the heavenly Scrooge who suddenly decided to bless Bob Cratchit's family with the biggest turkey that had ever graced their table. God is not just the founder of the feast. He is the sovereign Lord of all creation. And Scripture teaches us to thank Him and praise Him as such. He's the Creator who opens His hands and gives good things to His creatures. He's the one on whom we are dependent for all things. He's the one in whom we live and move and have our whole being. Thanksgiving, then, is not simply a response to God's gifts. Thanksgiving is a response to God's lordship over everything. But if thanksgiving is not simply a response to God's gifts, then should we not be thanking God for His gifts? And what should we give thanks for? What should we give thanks for? Well, the first three chapters of Deuteronomy rehearse God's dealings with Israel in Egypt in the wilderness. It's a three-chapter history that calls them to remember what God did for them. Remember. And then starting in Deuteronomy 6, God begins to repeat that specific command. Remember. So in Deuteronomy 6:12, take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And Deuteronomy 7:18, you shall remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt, the great trials that your eyes saw, and the outstretched arm by which the Lord God brought you out. In Deuteronomy 15:15, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Remember, remember, remember. Don't forget. But as Psalm 106 recounts the history of God's people, they forgot. They forgot and forgot and forgot again. Psalm 106:7, they did not consider your wondrous works. They did not remember the abundance of your steadfast love, but rebelled by the sea. Psalm 106:13, but they soon forgot His works. Again in verse 21, they forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. Israel's history is a history of amnesia. As Christians, we should remember God then for all His goodness in creation, for His power in the first Exodus, and His mercy in the second Exodus, and our Exodus from sin through Jesus' death and resurrection. And the more we know our Bibles, the more of our Bibles that we know, the more we will be able to thank God for. The more biblical history you know, the more biblical your prayers of thanksgiving will become. The more relevant your thanksgiving will become to the God to whom you're praying. And if the prayers of the Apostle Paul are any indication, then we should also thank God not simply for our own redemption, but for the faith and hope and love of other Christians and for the spread of the gospel. Paul thanked God for the Philippians' partnership in the gospel in 1:3-5. Or for the Colossians' faith and hope and love. And for the Thessalonians' reception of his preaching of the word as the word of God. And for how the Thessalonians' faith and love were increasing. If you read through the thanksgiving prayers of Paul, they're not just about God's gifts. They're about God's graces. And they're not just about God's gifts or graces to Paul, but they're about God's gifts and graces to other people. Friend, when was the last time that you thanked God for someone else's faith, hope, and love? When was the last time you thanked God for how someone else received the preaching of the word as the word of God and not just the word of man? The remembrance of God's faithfulness to us and to others in the past should also drive us to hope for more reason to thank God in the future. The lament psalms are full of Christians pouring out their hearts to God in their present sorrow and praying to God for deliverance. And many of those very same lament psalms end with thanksgiving for a deliverance that God has not yet accomplished, but that the psalmist believes is coming. Psalm 28 is a great example in verses 1-2. Hear my cry for mercy as I call to you for help. But by verse 7, he's already saying, my heart leaps for joy and I will give thanks to him in song. We celebrate his present faithfulness and we anticipate his future goodness to us. All based on his faithfulness to us in the past, which we commemorate every time we take the Lord's Supper. Because Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:26, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Past deliverance motivates future hope, which results in thanksgiving to God for things that he hasn't yet done. But based on his track record, he will do. Amen. So it's not that we never praise God for the little things in life or thank him for those or even for the horizontal blessings of families and churches and warm houses and friends and good food. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there's no shadow of turning. But we praise and thank God most for his most significant gifts and graces, which have to do, of course, with redemption and his mighty works in history, creation, the Exodus, the cross of Christ, his resurrection and his future return, and the outpouring of his Spirit in between. But if thanksgiving is a response to God's lordship, and if we should thank him for his mighty acts, then what are the implications of ingratitude? What if we're not thankful? What happens then? When the Bible, ingratitude, as we have observed, is not just a breach of etiquette, it's a breach of covenant. God's whole relationship with Israel was shaped in the form of a covenant treaty between a great king of an international superpower and a smaller kingdom that became like a colony for him. The great king would rehearse all the benefits that he'd given to the smaller kingdom, like liberating them from a foreign power. He would promise them provision and protection and list out the stipulations of their relationship moving forward. And the smaller kingdom would then promise loyalty and honor to the great king. They would pay tribute to him. And they would promise not to defect to another great superpower for protection. And so for God's people to be ungrateful to him was not only to forget all that he had done, it was to break the covenant that he had made with them. It was to deprive God of the glory that he deserved for saving them from Egypt. And in the Exodus narrative, ingratitude is practically equated with unbelief. Ingratitude is a far bigger deal than you think. It's not just a minor oversight. It's a breach of covenant. Right after the Exodus, God's people begin to murmur and complain in the wilderness. They complain about the bitter water at Marah in Exodus 15. They complain about having no food in Exodus 16. They complain of thirst in Exodus 17. At Massah and Meribah, and it's there, at Massah and Meribah, that we see the connection between ungrateful murmuring and unbelief. The people are said to quarrel with Moses and grumble against him, but Moses says they're testing the Lord. And the conclusion in Exodus 17:7 is this: Moses called the name of that place Massah and Meribah because of the quarreling of the people of Israel and because they tested the Lord by saying, is the Lord among us or not? unbelief? That is the question that unbelief asks. Is the Lord among us or not? And the implication of ingratitude then is unbelief. And that implication is carried forward by Paul into the New Testament. Romans 1:21 says of those who worship idols, for although they knew God, listen for what ingratitude leads to here. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. In that paragraph, ingratitude is the first step to idolatry. They did not give thanks to him, but became futile in their thinking. The more ungrateful you are, the less you know how to think about God. And the easier you will worship something that is not him. Refusal to thank God rightly makes us unable to think about God rightly. Ingratitude leads to idolatry. When you honor God as God, you are giving him thanks and credit for all that is, which is to say, you are treating him as the God he really is. If you refuse to worship and serve the Creator, then you end up worshiping and serving the creature. You end up giving to the creature what rightfully belongs to the Creator alone. So forth and finally, how do we show our gratitude best? How do we show our gratitude best? Well, first, we do need to remember God's mighty acts from the past, as we've observed before. And the best way to remember God's mighty acts in the past is to read and reread and reread and reread and reread of them in the Bible. And then you should listen to good preaching, like Matt Black's preaching. And you should demand that he preach regularly from the Old Testament and not just the New. So that you have to hear and remember God's mighty works of redemption and creation. But Deuteronomy 8:11 says, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes. How do you forget? You forget by not keeping his commandments. So how do you remember? By keeping his commandments. That's how you show gratitude for the covenant that he's made with you. When we forget the past, we disobey in the present. But remembering the Exodus and the cross and the resurrection compels our ongoing obedience. And obedience is the best way to show our gratitude. We don't just say thank you, we live thank you. We live a life that shows we're grateful. Paul says as much in Ephesians 5:3-5, that there should be no immorality, impurity, greed, foolish talk, or coarse jesting among God's people. Now, those are all moral, ethical statements, aren't they? No immorality, no impurity, no greed. So after all those prohibitions, you'd expect him to say something like, but there should be purity, generosity, wise talk. But what does he say instead? He simply says, but rather, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, for Paul, is shorthand for ethical living. Be pure. Be wise in your talk. Be moral. Obey. Be thankful. That's how you're thankful. The opposite of immorality is thanksgiving. And that means that thanksgiving is not merely a matter of etiquette, but a matter of ethics. To live a thankful life is to live an ethical, obedient life. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 1:8, give thanks in all, or 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances. It's not just that we should thank God on Thanksgiving Day and feel okay with being ungrateful the rest of the year. Well, I'll save Thanksgiving for next year. I forgot to thank him for that. No. It's that we should show our gratitude all the time in every circumstance by our obedience. So when Paul says in Romans 12:1, present your bodies as living sacrifices, which is your reasonable service of worship, that's a reversal of the false worship that was being offered in Romans 1 that started with ingratitude. Instead of worshiping the creature as a result of ingratitude, we're to worship the Creator as a result of our gratitude. And we're to do that by offering our whole self in service to God and to his people all year long. So, when you sit down to Thanksgiving dinner this Thursday, make it more than a matter of etiquette. Make it a matter of covenant. Let the holiday remind you that you are God's creature. Nothing more, nothing less. Dependent on him as your creator. Make it an occasion for remembering all that God has done for us in redeeming us from the clutches of our sin. Thank him for your family. But thank him even more for adopting you into his family on the coattails of Christ. Thank him for the feast on the table. But thank him even more for the bread of life that was broken for you. Thank him for your friends. But don't forget to thank him that in Christ he has called you his friend. Thank him for living in a country where we have freedom of religion. But even more, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. When Thanksgiving Day is done, let your gratitude for God's salvation in Christ drive you to live a whole life of thanksgiving. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let's pray together. Father, we do give you thanks and praise that you have given us your word, that you have revealed to us how to worship you and how to live before you in a way that honors you as our creator and as our redeemer and as our God and Lord, and as the source of all good, as the one who upholds all things by the word of your power. And so we pray that our lives would be lived in obedience to you, that we would relish obedience, that we would fear and have a great distaste for disobedience. And that in all circumstances, we would give thanks, and that we would bless your name, that we would credit you with all good, and that we would show our gratitude by our obedience. Father, we're helpless to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps in this matter. We know that we cannot show you gratitude in our flesh, nor do we want to. So we pray that you would do this in us by the Spirit of the living God, and by the power of your gospel, and by the power by which you raise your Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead, and in whose name we pray.
Amen. Amen. I love what Martin Lloyd-Jones said. Christians should be the happiest of all people, but they're often not. The other day, my daughter and I were in the parking lot of Best Buy, and I was kind of skipping and singing, and she was a little bit embarrassed to be with me. And I said, you know, we're never going to see these other people again, but... you know, whatever your personality is, obviously mine's a little bit different, but we should always be so thankful. I love what our brother has said tonight. Ingratitude is atheism. Amen? I mean, if we know God, it ought to be like the next step is right into the new heaven and the new earth. Praise his name. Wow. Well, we're going to sing. And after we sing, we're going to take a picture together. So we're going to sing, We Gather Together, beautiful song. Do we have that? Let's stand together. Just a second, I think we have it. Here we go.
We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. He chastens and hastens his will. Guide us, our God.
stand. Let's kind of all come to the middle. Can we all kind of just squeeze together? Just come on to the middle. In fact, why don't you just come up front? Come up. Yeah, I see that hand. Come on up front. Come on up. Come on up here. We want a memory. We're memory people. We want to remember today, and your face is important. So come on up here. We got our photographer here, I believe, Brother David. All right, just come on up here. Tall people, come on up on the stage. You know who you are. Come on, get a little closer like you love each other. Come on, y'all side people. There's no decorum here. Come on. All right. Good. Come on, tall people on the stage. Let's go. Or even if you're short, you'll still look like you're tall. Wait, one more. Sorry. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this night. We pray that you bless the food that we're about to receive. Thank you for family in Christ, our true forever family. Bless this food. Bless our fellowship. Bless this night that we might make many memories that will carry into the kingdom, and that you might be our honored guest. You might be the head of the table. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.